Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. This is the ZABE cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Tuesday, September 24, 2024. Thank you for downloading this Cincinnati Flash Officer Hatch. The fastest integrated software services salesman of the DMV, former Cincinnati Bearcat, and still 100-yard dash record holder at Chantilly High will join us in just a bit. He'll pick up the phone and talk to me about why the culture in Dallas is probably never going to be right as long as Jera, the carnival barker, is there. But first, if I may, I missed a big day over the weekend, the 21st of September. That's right. The Earth, Wind, and Fire Classic. You know, I have been noting how sometimes you get these sort of challenge questions to recover passwords that are more and more obscure. One of the ones I got recently, and it's not obscure, but it's a bit vague, is what's your favorite song? Sort of like, what was your first pet growing up? Who was your first grade teacher? So much of this shit, as you get older, you forget it if you ever knew it in the first place. But how do you decide what is your favorite song? You could have 1,000 songs that you love very much or more. So what is your favorite one? Well, this song might be it for me. And I love even more the backstory on how it came into existence. It reminds me that artistic genius and athletic genius, for that matter, and I do think athletics are a form of art, is often utterly accidental. That September itself as a song could become such a worldwide hit in many ways was just kind of a random, oh, look how that came together. First of all, it was a throw-in on their Best Of album, one of two songs written, that along with Got to Get You Into My Life. And the song was only partially written at the time by guitarist Al McKay and vocalist Maurice White. It took the addition of a songwriter, a woman by the name of Allie Willis, to come in and make it perfect. But she almost fucked it up. The words ba-dee-a don't mean anything. Some people think the song says party on. It does not. Willis wanted to change them because she didn't believe in throwaway lyrics and nonsense words. It drove her crazy. She said, what is this ba-dee-a? We got to make that words. We got to somehow make it fit with the rest of the song. It was White that finally put his foot down as the band's frontman and said, look, just leave it alone. It's perfect. It fits the groove, man. And don't worry about it because you never let a perfect lyric get in the way of a good groove. The groove won out over the lyric and ba-dee-a stayed. Of course, the song itself doesn't mean anything in particular. No special date historically attached to it. Wasn't when the band was formed. White himself had a story about it when asked that, well, I was in a hotel in the city and somewhere on that day I saw a protest going on down beneath my window. And the song just kind of came to me that day. What? Over a pro? What? So it's such a weird, funny backstory to it. I love it so much. His widow would later say that the date was actually the due date of one of their children and that he wrote it as a buried Easter egg of sorts that was only revealed after his death in 2016. But I don't know if I believe that either. Again, never let a good story, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. May or may not be true, it's a good story. Either way, the song is one of those songs that is impossible. I say impossible for a human being with a beating heart to not feel good listening to and to tap along with your foot or your hands. And that includes Philadelphia Eagle fans with hearts as black as coal. More on that after I talk to Hatch. It's why the song gets played at every damn wedding in the Western Hemisphere and with varying degrees of touch and accuracy by the cover bands tasked with doing it. Brides will actually try to schedule their weddings for September 21st, if possible, for either good luck, good vibes, or of course just the kitschy tie-in to the tune itself and the ability to then leverage it via Instagram, TikTok, and other platforms. Hey, I got married on September 21st. Now, I've got a personal theory, and it's unsupported, just my own feeling, is that the song reflects the fact that summer ends on September 21st, the fall equinox, and that usually the weather that time of year in the northern part of the country and certainly the central part of the country is just glorious. It's still the remnants of summer. The earth is warm. The air is starting to cool. The humidity has pretty much gone away for the most part. In that parts, in you know, everywhere, but the further south you go in the country. And who wouldn't want a song that reflects that? And maybe it's also the fact that it's the end of summer, and you're thinking back to how you just enjoyed a long summer of doing summer things. Like when I got to go see the living, breathing remnants of Earth, Wind, and Fire at Summerfest here in Milwaukee, two summers ago, not this past, but the one before that, and sat in the front row. They weren't great, but it was still the original version, and I appreciated the fact that at their age, they were knocking it out and seemingly loving every second of it. So whatever the song may mean to you, who cares? It's just a great song. It's a banger. It's beautifully layered with the lyrics, the absolutely cooking horn riffs on top and the sublime string line that ties it all together with sort of an echo to the main melody subverted in the strings. The song will ramp up tension to multiple cliffs in the rhythm of the song and then it'll have a crisp break and plunge down into a beautiful release into the chorus. Ba-dee-a, say do you remember? Ba-dee-a, dancing in September. Ba-dee-a, never was a cloudy day. Ba-dee-a. Come on. But here is also where the accidental magic began. Willis, the songwriter, was unfamiliar with the band's obsession with Eastern philosophy and their relentless positivity. And as such, she was tasked by White to go find several books about it all and start reading. She read for a month and then got back and reported to the studio and was ready to sit down and try to organize with the band the loose ends of the tracks they were working on to make it into something commercial grade. And she said the first thing she heard walking in the studio was the opening guitar riff of what would become September. And she thought to herself, oh my God, please Lord, let this be the song they want my help with, because I just know it already. It's got smash hit written all over it. Awesome.
Do you remember?
So you may not be a huge fan of Earth, Wind & Fire, although if not, you should probably get that checked. You do have to love music, though, and the accidental genius that sometimes falls out of the sky. Coming up, Big Trouble in Big D, the dumbest coaching moves of the week in the NFL, and maybe it was Bryce Young after all. Subscribers get to skip the ads and get right to the good stuff after this. If you want to do the same, sign up for a mere $5 a month at zabe.com/premium and become a true one percenter. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Well, Hatch, you are the one guy that I can text after the Cowboys are getting their ass whooped, and it doesn't make you angry. You said you were just laughing watching how badly they were fucking it up against the Ravens.
Oh, my God. Still can't stop the run.
It's just terrible. Players,
it is. It's like no discipline. How many times are you going to run a play where it's read option and you don't keep outside contained, you go inside and – Lamar keeps the ball and just runs around you.
Right? And this Micah Parsons
bit on that multiple times. Everyone knows in an option offense, the defense, one guy is dedicated to the quarterback and another guy is dedicated to the running back. Dallas has so many people trying to be superhero and not do their job, their role.
Right. It seems like, you know, when the zone read option or the zone read, I guess there's RPOs that are run pass options.
Pass option, right.
And then the zone read option was what Kaepernick and RG3 terrorized the league with back in 2012. Now, I remember reading these articles explaining the so-called scrape exchange technique that coaches had come up with. But you say now it's just simply, hey, with a running quarterback, one guy has the QB, another guy has the option. Don't fucking freelance.
Right. It's nothing more than the back in the day triple option of 1970s and 80s. But they taught the defense was taught that you're assigned a person in an option offense, and you have to stay with that person. That's why back in the day, you would see guys blow up the quarterback in wishbone and blow up the quarterback in triple option because they had the quarterback.
Right. Even if they didn't have the ball, they would
even
get
if they
blown
didn't
up.
Have the ball. Right.
Well, that must have been a fun offense to run as a QB. I'm going to get hit pretty much every running play, whether I've got the ball or not. Yay.
Right. And then all RPO is a style of the old school veer option, which veer was two split backs, and the quarterback would ride off tackle the running back, and then he would pull it out, take two steps back, and back then they would throw a pass to the tight end running up the hash. It was called a pop pass.
Yeah.
Or they would throw it deep to the receiver. And all they did was just change the formation nowadays, and they do it from the shotgun. But it's the same version of those offense.
There is nothing truly new under the football sun. It's all variants of shit that's been done. Although, I guess someone say, Hatch, the pistol is a new wrinkle that truly – yeah.
Yeah, because they put the running back behind the quarterback in the shotgun formation.
Right, exactly. Or actually, before – no, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm trying to think where it's positioned. There are some basic wrinkles, but the point is, the league figured out how to defense this offense 5 years ago at a minimum, and the Cowboys looked like they had never fucking seen it before. And the guy in Parsons who wants to get paid a goddamn mountain of money is out there just, hey, running around, doing this, doing that. It's crazy.
Freelancers.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, and he's a
No outside contain. None at all. Dallas has no outside contain.
He's a great player, though, Parsons. Would you not agree? When he's not
freelancing. He's a great player.
Right.
When he's not,
So I think, our boy McGowan, our golf buddy McGowan, Cowboy fan, you know him well. I texted him, and he was just despondent during the game saying, look, I've said it over and over again, until Jerry dies – and there's truly a new regime, even though his kid is next in line to carry on the Jones way of doing things. He said nothing is going to change. And I always kind of dismiss that to an extent because I'm like, they have good regular season records. They've been a little bit unlucky in the playoffs. They've kind of choked a bit. Maybe Dak's not the guy. But now I'm coming around, Hatch, to the culture under Jerry now just ain't right. That the one thing that Jimmy Johnson was able to do was to put a fucking edge and a hard-ass culture underneath Jerry, the ultimate pitch man. Do you buy into that theory that the culture ain't right and is never going to be right with old saggy face still alive?
Well, here's what I think. I think he hires these coaches that he can control.
Well, he has lately. Parcells was the one guy that could push back and say, shut the fuck up. I'm working here.
And obviously Parcells didn't want to stay there long enough to keep having to fight that fight. I'm sure there was some kind of stuff that we didn't know about. I mean, obviously it happened with Jimmy Johnson. Like, Jerry Jones wants to be involved in everything.
Right.
He gives, just own the team and you spend your riches of millions of dollars and leave the football. Yeah, we know you played football. We get it. But that helps. But we don't need you to be the GM. We don't need you to control the coach and control everything that goes on in that program. Like, there's way too much involvement in him in the program.
He does two different radio appearances a week. Two.
Right.
A week.
Why? Why?
It's because, you know, I want to be transparent. Let people know what's
going on. No, you just want the spotlight to be on.
Exactly.
I've always said if I had to like the owner, I wouldn't be a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, it's true. See, I just think that the better organizations say less and they run on a kind of a tight-knit culture of we're focusing on what needs to be focused on and every little thing. Even if you think, oh, it's not a big deal, we're not spending any time on that. That scrubs off speed to what we're doing here. And there is still way too much nonsense under Jerry down there for the Cowboys to be really, really good. You know, they'll be good-ish.
Right.
But they'll
be good enough to make the playoffs, but they're never going to make the Super Bowl. And then the other thing is, why you make it so difficult to sign your stars? Just sign them. Stop playing these stupid games.
He waits till the last minute and then pays retail plus an express shipping fee on the contract.
Right.
Dumb.
Just get it done. Stop playing these games. Now you got all these other guys that are like, do I really want to go through all this?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting season. The defense is still trash. Zimmer's on the hot seat. I think Bob's big boy is on the hot seat. And it's going to be a hell of a season. We'll see what happens.
He's toast.
Yeah.
Dead man walking. He's a dead man. If they don't get deep into the playoffs, he's gone. They're going to finish. Dallas is still going to win 10 games. You know, it's the media, for some odd reason, like I said, talks about Dallas every single solitary day. Like, every game
team.
Is like...
You're the catnip that ESPN cannot put down.
Oh, my God. They cannot. It's like every game is, like, scrutinized, and either Dallas is going to Super Bowl contender one week, or they're done and their season's over the next. It's like, come on, man. Let's just let the season play out and see what happens. They're still going to win. The good thing is the NFC East is trash. The Eagles won yesterday,
God.
But it was ugly. They're still not that good.
We're going to get to the Eagles in a second. Quickly, which quarterback reclamation project do you think is more legit right now? Justin Fields with the Steelers or what's his name with the Vikings?
I knew you were going to say that. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
It's just a matter. Well, one, Sam Darnold's got Justin Jefferson to throw to.
That helps.
Two, Sam Darnold will do Sam Darnold things. He almost did it this past game where he freaking was falling and tried to he did a
Will Levis.
He did one of those. He did one of those. He was falling down in the red zone and tried to just toss the ball. But it was forward, so it ended up being an incomplete pass.
Well, lucky.
Yeah, he was lucky. But it's just a matter of time. Just give it some time.
They didn't call that grounding on him?
No.
How about
they didn't, because the defensive lineman, it hit the defensive lineman in the hands, and he dropped it.
Okay.
And then jumped on it.
Hit the defensive lineman. Okay. How about the intentional grounding that should have been called on Dak in the end zone? When his tackle caught it, like that's such an easy call.
That was a safety. I thought that was a safety.
I know
it should have been a safety.
Well, it's a safety because it was a completed pass to an ineligible player, and there was no receiver
in the end zone.
And there was no receiver in the area, and it was in the end zone. And even Mike Pereira, the rules expert, said, "Oh, wow, that's interesting." I'm like, "Can you just, hey Pereira, just say they blew the call?" Like, you know,
he's a ref, man. He's got to protect his brethren.
I know.
He's not going to call anybody out.
I know they do. Well, anyway, I do think there's a lot to be said about putting a guy in a good situation to succeed. And just look how Malik Willis did for two games for the Packers. Limited special packages, executed the shit out of the running game, let him throw just enough in just the right spots to not get hurt. played defense. That's winning football right there.
You know what that's called? It's also called knowing who you have and good coaching and working with the strengths of the person that you have instead of trying to fit your style into someone who doesn't. That's not their style.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
The Bears threw the ball 53 times with Caleb Williams, and they were facing one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Not exactly genius-level coaching right there.
I don't know why they didn't fire Eberflus last year.
You know why? Terrible. You know why? Because they had a little surge after the midway point of the season, and they were on the verge of maybe sneaking in the playoffs, and there was this feeling of, hey, you know, he could be okay. And so they kept him, which you're right, dumbest thing ever. That guy is a zilch as a coach.
He is.
And
he is.
Caleb Williams needs a new coach if he's going to be successful. All right.
You're going to get the guy killed.
Yes. Well, right. Right. Although I think a lot of it he likes to do himself. But on to more idiotic coaching decisions. There's two of them I want to bring to light here. The first one I saw firsthand in the Titans-Packers game. Brian Callahan. This is in the early third quarter. They're down, I want to say, 24-7. Game's not totally out of reach, but okay, it's getting there. Or it might even been 20-7 at the time. And he's got 4th-and-1 at his own 40, the minus 40. He calls a timeout, Hatch, a precious second-half timeout. When you're trailing, there is nothing more valuable than a 40-second time coupon, and you need all three to complete the set of 40 plus 40 plus 40 is 2 minutes. Gee, is two minutes significant to try to stop the clock and get the ball back and win the game? Of course it is. Fucking moron. Takes a timeout on 4th-and-1 at the minus 40. And just
why?
We want to think about it. We want to think about going for it. Then after thinking about it, they're like, YOLO, let's do it. We got a great play for it. The play fails. They get stopped. And it's the dumbest decision ever because I always run it through this basic prism. Okay, if you get the fourth down, what'd you win? Well, you're still 60 yards from the end zone. Congratulations. What happens if you don't get it? Well, then the other team is one first down from being in field goal range, and they're 40 yards from ending the fucking game in the second half. Wake up.
Third quarter. And how much time was in the third quarter?
It was like middle of the third. There was a lot of time left.
Oh, God.
But it was.
See, I'm more conservative. I'd have just punted it.
Fuck yeah, punt it, because there's a lot of game left.
Early in the game.
And by making it, you win nothing. You're not in field goal range. You're not close to the end zone. You can't run the clock out. But if you lose that go for it, the other team is in great fucking position about to, you know, put their foot on your neck. Dumb. Not as dumb as Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni had two situations in the first half of that Eagles-Saints game. Did you watch any of that game?
I watched some. Okay. I was watching them all because I was at the bar.
All right, so this is what happened. And I didn't know the full scope of this till I talked to Scott Lynn today on the on their podcast. He said Sirianni, end of the first half, decides to go for it on 4th-and-1 at the 15 with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. They failed. Went into the locker room, down 3-0. 3-0 game.
Instead of 3-3.
Yes, exactly. 4th-and-1 at the 15, Hatcher. He went for 4th-and-1. They could have gotten that first down and then literally watched the clock run out on them.
He went for like 3 or 4 fourth downs and didn't get any of them.
Well, there's that.
But you know what now?
Yeah.
They all go by the analytics now.
Yeah.
The 4th-and-1 by Tennessee, the analytics say go for it at that yard.
Right.
Yard, you know, and then the analytics for Sirianni, which he seems to be a big analytics guy because he goes for a lot of fourth downs.
Right. But
see, to me, there's still more involved in that. Like, analytics doesn't show that the momentum of the game switches when you don't get it.
Right.
And there's all kind of other factors involved in that when you don't get it. Not just the analytics. Well, 4th-and-1, you got a 75% chance of making it. Well, okay. And what about the other 25% when you don't? And then the momentum switches, and then they go down and score.
Right. Plus, analytics, I think, fails to fully account for the fact that football is not a long-run simulation. You don't just get to extrapolate these percentages over a long run that spans several games. Every game is episodic. It has a beginning, a middle, right, and an end. And when the game ends, if you don't have more points, you lose. And that is fatal in a episodic right sense. So therefore, the long-run analytics of it often underestimates, well, shit, you could lose the game, which would be the worst thing ever. So maybe right the percentages over the long haul or in general are in your favor, but what does the moment call for? Even worse, and I couldn't believe this when Scott told me, they had back-to-back third and fourth and goals at like the one or the two, and they ran wildcat and got no yards out of it on literally back-to-back plays with one of their running backs.
What happened to the tush push? They stopped doing that?
I guess they didn't have that. I've got to go watch it. I haven't had time to go watch the game, but he said, yeah, they did it to not even to Saquon Barkley, who saved their ass in the game, and they won anyway. So Sirianni is going to be able to enjoy a little bit of a honeymoon because they won the game. But they did it with their other back and it fucking failed. And I said to Scott, I go, does he know that the Wildcat, nobody runs that shit anymore? Like, that's out.
And if you're at the 1 yard line, why are you? They obviously, if you're in the Wildcat, they know you're running the ball,
right? Because you're not going to let your running back pass, and if you do, you're a moron.
Right, right.
They gave it to Kenneth Gainwell. Direct snap to Kenneth Gainwell. Okay,
5'8", 190 pounds.
5'9", 200, out of Memphis, but yes, he's a short fellow.
Yeah, I know exactly who he is. He played against Cincinnati.
Yes.
A little light in the butt. He's nobody's 200.
Oh, God, these coaches sometimes. It's unbelievable. Okay.
Right.
Anything else from dumb – any dumb coaching decisions over the weekend?
Yeah. Irritated. So, University of Cincinnati, won 34-0 against University of Houston.
All right.
Great game, turnovers. But I still don't understand bonehead decision. The defense that we run – is called a 3-3-5. And I'm like, and in most cases on 3rd and 4, 5, we're rushing three people. Any halfway decent Division I quarterback's eventually going to complete the pass when he's got all day to throw the ball.
Right.
So we're giving up big chunk yards on pass plays. And I'm like, you already got five people down there. No one can play zone or man for that long.
Well, don't you have a line to the coach? Aren't you a cherished alum? And can't you
get
word to him? Hey, coach.
Man, I can't be one of those type of people to talk about the schemes that they play.
You are right now, though.
Yeah.
After a 34-0
win. But that's not
going to
change anything.
Okay.
Yeah, when we play somebody who can throw the ball, I mean, I'm like, what do they think we have? LT on the defensive line rushing the passer when we only need three people?
Did you
damn.
I'm sure you saw this. I don't even just say to see, but holy shit, JMU hangs a 70 burger on North Carolina, a purported actual D1 football school at a Power 5 conference. No, they're not Clemson or Florida State, although Florida State is hot ass right now.
Oh, they are.
But still, that is embarrassing. JMU, which just recently made the jump to D1, they have been one of the...
3 years ago.
Well, that's just...
And wait, it even gets better. North Carolina paid them $500K to come play. $500K to take an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They had nearly a 50 burger at half, end up with a 70 burger, could have been more. North Carolina scored 50. So if you had the under 139, or wait, 70 plus 50, that's 120. If you had 119 and the under, you lost because the game went to 120. But holy shit. And people are calling for Mac Brown's head, and he's like, I'm not stepping down. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I read an article where he said in the team meeting, he asked the players, should he quit?
Show of hands, everybody. Raise your hand.
Right. Like, who's going to admit that? Yeah. Who's going to put their hand up for that, whether they believe it or not?
Imagine that. You're looking around sheepishly like, is anyone else raising their hands?
Exactly.
Oh, I think that guy's got
80-year-old guy still coaching us is out of touch.
Like, you wouldn't be cut immediately. You'd see, find exactly. The five guys who raised their hands and be like, Johnson, Smith, Jones, you're all out. Thanks for being honest. We need men who are going to pull together, not tear us apart. But
exactly.
So, look, JMU's got a hell of a program going on right now, and I'm happy for him. I got a number of JMU friends. Steve Buckhantz is one. Buddy Christensen is a JMU Duke, the Dukes. And so, yeah, good for them. And
yeah,
they laid the wood.
My running back from high school, Mike Campbell, played running back at James Madison.
There you go. There you go. The great Garrett Clark, one of my favorite Redskins of all time, was at JMU when JMU was pretty much a backwater. Wasn't even a
Charles Haley.
That he went to JMU too, huh?
Yep.
Son of a
JMU.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Well, that's so does this say,
so I got one good go ahead.
So does this mean the college football world is flatter than it's ever been, even though there is big NIL money at the bigger schools?
Well, I still think the bigger school, you know, the cream always rises to the top. So they're going to figure out a way to get the 12 teams that they want. Well, let's make that 11 because they have one little scrap for the everybody else. So they're going to figure out a way to get mostly the Big Ten and the SEC into the playoff.
Right.
So that's what the people that are going to get paid are going to continue to get paid.
Right.
So they're always going to be farther ahead. Yeah, there's going to be upsets. That's why I think the fair way of doing it is to give every conference champ an invite.
Got it.
Just like basketball.
All right.
So it gives those schools opportunities to get some of that money to be able to somewhat compete.
All right. What did what'd you have on the way out the door? By the way, the doubleheader is going on right now on Monday Night Football. Can you give me a score update?
Yeah,
I literally
I'll
just landed, got in my apartment in Milwaukee.
Okay, the score update is Joe Burrow on about the seventh play of the maybe the fifth play threw a bomb to a wide open Chase for a touchdown, and now Washington Commanders are at the 1 yard line about to take it in.
What about the Buffalo?
To tie it up.
What about the Buffalo Jacksonville game?
Buffalo is putting a whooping on them. I turned it. They went drove down the field 7-0, and then when I turned it, they had already started driving down the field to go up 14-0. So it might be 14. Let's see. I'll turn to it right now. It might be 14-0. But the story that I wanted to tell you was, so I'm leaving out of Spanky's in Leesburg, right?
Spanky's That's where I go is and a watch. Bar and restaurant.
Bar and restaurant in Leesburg, Virginia.
Not a
where
strip.
I go to watch the game.
Not a strip club because we don't have those in Western Loudoun County.
No, we do not. And Buffalo's up 20-3.
Oof.
And so I'm coming out and I see good old Joe Theismann coming
what?
In.
What?
Yes.
Joe Theismann. The quarterback of my youth of the Washington Redskins.
Oh,
what was
yes.
he doing at a place
so
like that?
So I said to him, I go, hey, man. I go, nice to see you. You know, he loves being recognized.
Oh, yeah.
So I stop him. I go, I got a great story for you. And he's like, what's that? I said, back in 1979, you came and spoke at my Pop Warner banquet, and I am 56 now. He was like, what? I go, yeah. And he started laughing. He goes, I can't believe it. I go, yeah. You came and spoke at my Pop Warner banquet in 79.
That
and he
is...
goes, well, who'd you play for? I go, SYA in Centerville, Virginia. And he's like, oh, okay.
And I can guarantee you this, he probably got paid a stipend to do that because...
he probably, you know him. Yes, he did.
Fucking love Joe Theismann.
Yep.
The best.
Joe's right. not doing anything without getting paid.
I love it. Let's try to play golf with him. Loves to play golf.
Man, you better make sure you have June 18th on your schedule.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. 2025?
That's right. Yep, 2025.
I'm having a hard time getting a flight down to Sarasota.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, it's on the calendar. All right, Hatch.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, buddy. See you.
Okay. Bye. Yo, I know something you don't
know, and I got something to tell you. Let's finish on some feedback via Zabe@yahoo.com. Always welcome the feedback, good, bad, and even those that are saying, that's it, I'm out, asshole. He didn't include the asshole, but it'd be okay if he did. Sort of like when Rocky Blyer says, I'm done with the Steelers. I love that Rocky Blyer bite.
Here's my take on the Steelers. I'm done.
Yeah, no, you're not done. Steelers are 3-0, and they're absolutely destroying people defensively. Three straight games allowing fewer than 10 points per game to start the season hasn't been done in 50 years since the days of the Steel Curtain. But I digress. This one from Harry Mama. He writes, I'm done. Like Rocky Blyer.
Here's my take on the Steelers. I'm done.
I've been a loyal listener since the Fox Sports Radio days and on through Yahoo and on and on. Last week's rant about the Eagles, I agreed with 100%. The team, that is. However, when you talk about the loser and trash Philly fans, it's too much. I have enough people telling me they hate me. Politicians, my wife, three daughters. I'm not going to pay someone to call me trash and a loser. I re-upped on 9/8, so you have my money until 9/7/2025. But if I hear the word Philly on your podcast, I'm going to skip that episode like I did most of today. I canceled my subscription today. Someone said when someone shows you who they are, believe them. You hate me and my family, neighbors, etc., so I will believe you. I wish you the best because I do respect and appreciate your work. Signed, Harry Mama. Harry, my friend. My friend, I think I caught you with just a funsy rhetorical rock in the corner of the eye when you were not having a great day. Let me be clear. I married a Philly girl. Well, technically mainline, but that's still considered Philly. Well, technically, Drexel Hill, which is, I've been told, not actually mainline. It's almost. It's mainline adjacent. I have a wonderful brother-in-law, Todd, who did buy that Tesla, and I still haven't heard from him. That asshole, he owes me a report. Didn't even reach out and go, I got it. Here's the pictures. What do you think? Here's what's cool. What did I do to Todd that he would just ghost me like this? Apparently he likes it. We'll talk to him in a bit. And my wonderful sister-in-law, Yvonne, who is just a hardworking, cares about her kids teacher, teaches reading. And I like going up there. And I've got nephews up there as well. And through Todd and Yvonne, I have met countless of wonderful people in the Philly suburbs and even exurbs. And many of them are Eagle fans. My friend Jimmy Shapiro, or Shapiro, I think is how he pronounces it. I've heard it both ways. Who runs a PR company, is born and bred Philly, diehard Eagle fan. He was in Minnesota leading up to the Eagles' Super Bowl victory. They'll forever have it. There's a statue of Big Dick Nick Foles out in front of the stadium. I know. Well, let me back up. I say this shit about Eagle fans, tongue firmly in cheek, because you know what? They're no more violent or psychotic than Raider fans or Browns fans or Jets fans when they're good. Browns and Jets haven't been good in a while, but when they good, oh shit. Remember when the Jets were kind of good under Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez before he started butt fumbling? And there was shit going on either at, I think it was at MetLife, or they had built the new place, where there was one game in which Jets fans pushed a hot dog cart off of one of the walk-up ramps, crashing like 100 feet below could have killed multiple people. Savages. Raider-Charger games back in the day used to be full of absolute savages. I say that not genuinely. Now, there are white trash fans and white trash people all over the country. I just don't like the fact that the Eagles still employ that parade float, Big Dom, as sideline security when he actively started a fight with a player. Like, he's still with the team and I think still has sideline access, or at least he's got some inside access because they featured Big Dom prior to the Monday Night Football game a week ago. So I just have no use for that. And the guy that's got all the tattoos of all the mascots that fucked his knee up doing the chest bump of Kelsey, okay, maybe I took it too far on him. Might be the nicest guy ever. But Jesus, heart attack waiting to happen. And those tattoos are a disaster. I'm not anti-tattoo. I just, when people just like scribble all over themselves, you kind of go, all right, what's going on here? You got so much for me to look at here. What is everything here? I mean, I guess I'd respect the ingrained fandom. Now, this is all not to try to claw Harry Mama back as a subscriber. Harry, you are welcome back anytime. And by the way, you paid for a year, but then I hit you in the eye with a rock and you canceled, but you're like, you got my money until September of next year. I am going to reach out to my guy, Chris Broussard, and make sure you get a full refund for the whole year. And then things calm down. If you realize that, okay, I might have pushed it a bit too far rhetorically, and that I was only kidding about your dark, blackened hearts that probably don't even like the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you want to come back to Fridays, come on back. Scott Lynn, Philly, born and raised. One of my best friends, professional friends in the world. And a savage at heart, but he has tamed the Philly savage. I know the urban legends of shit that's happened in Philadelphia sports history all have more to the story than is commonly expressed, that there really wasn't a jail cell underneath the link, or not the link, underneath the vet. But there was like a detention room where it got used on more than one occasion. You know, Santa Claus did get booed and pelted with snowballs, but I remember hearing the story to that was, well, it was because it was the shittiest Santa Claus ever, totally skinny, ragged-looking suit, and the Eagles were getting drilled at the time. Buddy Ryan was an absolute cheap shot, encouraging dickhead of a coach, but was really good when he had him rolling. So it's complicated, but Harry, I appreciate you sticking up for the Philly fan base. And if you want to remain out, you can stay out. But I am not going to take your $55. Of course, minus the month you already used, plus data charges. There is a cancellation fee of $10. Okay, I'm just kidding about all that. I'm not going to take anyone's money who feels like that I hate them, hate their family, and hate your neighbors. I don't. I hate the Eagles. And I hate it when they're good. And I hate it when they beat the Packers. But other than that, I appreciate the passion. That's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening. Whether you agree, disagree, or just have had enough of me running my mouth, I do appreciate the downloads and the support. Have yourself a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Football is back, And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.